Welcome to Waking Up with Melissa, a podcast that takes a deep dive into personal development, spirituality, and how to grow your online business. I'm your host, Melissa Ruiz, a spiritual and mindset business coach for all conscious healers out there. Stay tuned every week while I share insight on how to balance your business and also stay in alignment with your higher self. I truly feel that we all uniquely possess all the things we are seeking if we simply allow ourselves to surrender, to be present, and to take action in our lives.
Welcome back to another solo podcast on Waking Up with Melissa. Today, we're going to talk about why long-form content is the number one way to grow your brand. And now, this is for somebody who's either online or in person, because having one piece of content that's longer than the average 3 seconds that we scroll on TikTok or the 7 seconds, or at best, we see content that's 90 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes. The longer your ideal client spends time with you, the easier it is for them to make a decision on why they want to work with you. And let me break this down. The reason why people use long form content is because it has that know, like, trust factor on 1,000. And now, if you don't know what this is, these are the 3 different ways that buyers make a decision on whether they want to work with you. They have to know, do I know this person? Like, do I feel like I know them? Do I like them? Do I like the way they show up? Do I like the way they think, their perspective? And do I ultimately trust them? I want you to put yourself in this position. Would you trust somebody that has never showed their face on their brand or has never actually spoken, and you never even knew or heard the resonance of their sound, versus someone who potentially shows up on a podcast and now they're spending 20 minutes with you every single morning? Or maybe it's a YouTube. Whatever it is, the longer piece of content is absolutely going to always outperform all of that short piece of content. And it's honestly logic. It logically makes sense that if you spend more time with your ideal client in this way, those things are going to convert easier. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to talk about many different things on this podcast. One, I'm going to let you know why I stopped van life and where I've settled and some of the key takeaways that I learned from that. But you're going to have to stay all the way to the end to get that juice. In the meantime, I'm going to cover the main 5 platforms and how you should be using them. And I'm also going to share with you how I grew my podcast. Okay. Let's go to YouTube and podcast. These 2 things are perfect examples of what I'm sharing with you. Long form content. They're longer because the minutes are longer. So people are spending more time on both of these mediums. So this is the podcast that you record, and this is the YouTube video that you record as well. Pinterest. Pinterest is basically a search engine. So just the same way you would search for something on Google, that's what Pinterest is being used for. And so if you have a repurposing strategy, that is a perfect opportunity for you to use Pinterest. This means you're creating all of your content on one platform. So pick a platform, whichever one. Pick a platform, any platform. So let's just say you put out all of your content on TikTok. Now you're going to take all of those videos and you're going to repurpose them on Pinterest. That's going to drive more traffic to that piece of content. The next thing, Instagram. Instagram by nature is a nurturing platform. This means that, you know, gone are the days of you going viral on this platform, even though I have to say, actually seen in the past 3 months, many of our students go viral on Instagram by using original audio. So it's still the place to do that, but definitely nowhere near how it used to be even last year or the year before that. But what I'm trying to share with you is that it's a nurturing platform. It is there to nurture your clients. TikTok is an outreach platform while Instagram is a nurturing platform. So what does this mean for you is that you need to know how to utilize all of these platforms. If we're using TikTok, then just know that you want to be creating content that hits the masses. It doesn't need to be very specific. It just needs to be broad. Yes, you're going to pick a niche. You're going to figure out a topic. And I'm not telling you to niche down, don't get scared. I'm just telling you to pick a lane, okay? So like pick a few things that you wanna talk about and talk about them on that platform. And you wanna cast a wide net. Now on Instagram, this is where you wanna dial it in. This is where you want to almost envision yourself talking to your ideal client right in front of you. And you want to get really specific as to the emotions that they're moving through, the physical things that they're going through, the desires that they have, the mindset that they need to gain in order for them to make a decision on whether it is to go on a retreat or to pick themselves or to start the business. It's more dialed in. It's more geared to nurturing that person to potentially buy. Just understanding those three different platforms and why we're using them is important and vital to your business. The reason why I share this is because once upon a time, when I first started my business, I was like, we'll just do all of the things. And I quickly found that actually, no, that's not a good strategy. You don't need to be on all of the things because you're not going to do and perfect one good thing. I want you to pick one thing. All of the things work, but they do all work at the same time, eventually when you have a team. But if you're a solopreneur and you're just getting started, all of this shit can be quite fucking just daunting and overwhelming. I just want you to focus on one platform that you feel you're going to go all in on, whether it's Pinterest, depending on your ideal audience, your ideal client. So Pinterest is great for social media managers, for people who are into branding. All of those types of aesthetic businesses will do great on Pinterest. TikTok is going to be a great platform. I think even for my travel bloggers, for people who have this type of content where they're showing what they're doing, whether it's that they're a chef and they're showing their food, whether you're a content creator that feels really comfortable talking to the camera and you're sharing some shift in perspective or things that you feel your audience is really going to resonate with, that's going to be a great platform for that. And Instagram is going to be a great platform for you to be bringing in those carousels, bringing in original audio on Reels, and really connecting and building community to your ideal client. Why am I telling you this? Well, my first year of business, I started my podcast and I was about 4 months in. And I was in this place of a high. I was like, ooh, I love my business. This is amazing. I hired my first coach. I hit my first 28K. I was about 3 months into my business. And on the fourth month, I was like, I want to start a podcast. This is great. I love talking. And I just couldn't utilize what I naturally love to do. Well, I quickly shut it down after 11 episodes because I realized that it was a lot of work and I was trying to fly too many planes, meaning I was trying to get too many things off of the ground at the same time and I wasn't perfecting anything. So I had to pause. I had to actually slow down to speed up. Have you ever heard of that? I actually had to do that. And that was quite uncomfortable as someone who has lots of fire in their chart and a wild, adventurous Sagittarius who believes like everything needs to be done yesterday. And not from this energy of fear or lack or impatience, but just because I really do believe that everything and anything can be done. So what's really stopping us? But when we're building a business, that is too many energy leaks. And so here are the five ways that I eventually grew my podcast. And I want to share this with you here. Number one, after I took that break and I took that hiatus, I got really intentional. I started to ask myself, how can I be consistent when recording my podcast? Because what I found was, first of all, if you hear episode 4, 5, and 6, I recorded those in my car. Actually, I even recorded episode number 1 in my car, which hashtag no fucking excuses. Like, if you really want to do something, you'll do it. That has always been my attitude and my outlook. And it served me well to a certain point, but I realized that I just couldn't go on doing that in my business. I needed consistency. So the number one thing that grew my brand was being consistent. And I'm talking about the podcast. Like, I have been recording weekly podcasts for I don't even know how long. It has to be at least 2.5 years. It's wild. I haven't stopped and looked, but I have been consistently recording one podcast a week. And that in itself held me accountable. I hired a team. I hired somebody who is helping me with my podcast. And honestly, that was such a game changer for me because when you bring on people to support you and now they're waiting on you for the things that they need to complete their job, I started to feel like, holy crap, like not only do I need to do this, but somebody's waiting for me. And so I started to get really consistent and I created a plan. Actually, when the podcast wrap stuff came out, you know what I'm talking about? Last year, they do this every year now where Spotify tells you your ranking for your podcast and the most viewed and the most shared. We had about 80 to 90% outranked people in our category for consistently creating more content than them. So Waking Up with Melissa has put out more content, about 80 to 90% more content than anybody else in my category. So honey, your girl's been consistent. And you know, I learned this from Gary Vee. He always says this, like when you're starting a business, you are competing against other markets. And so one, you need to make sure your shit is super top notch and that you're delivering excellent value. And two, you need to outperform the competition. And listen, I'm not trying to tell you to go do more work. That's not what I'm saying. If you have the energy to go out and put out more content, do it. If you don't do it. Like literally follow your gut. When I first started my business, I could not hear this information. I was like, oh my God, this is all so overwhelming. I can't do that. I'm only going to post 2 or 3 times a week. And it did build my business. But best believe that those captions were converting. Best believe that everything that I did put out there, I put my love, my intention, and all of my heart into those 3 pieces of content. Now where I'm at, I realized that that's not the strategy for me. Now it is about pushing more content. It is about more visibility. Like, it's actually logical too, right? That if you see somebody's content more, you're going to get in front of them more. And remember what I told you in the beginning of this podcast, the more time you spend with your ideal client, the easier they're going to convert, period. And so that's the number one thing that I did, was I stood consistent and I always had a plan. On the weeks that I didn't have the energy to record a plan, we had a backup plan, which was we would pull my lives from my Instagram and we would make those the podcast episode for that week. So number two, I treated my podcast as if it was a paid offer, meaning I see a lot of people put their podcasts out there and they're not bringing any brand awareness to the podcast or to the page or to their episode. And how do you think anybody's going to find you? They're not going to find you. You need to be consistent. And so once I started to treat my podcast as if it was a paid offer, I started to see massive results because I started to create graphics for the podcast every single week. I would create brand awareness for the podcast. I even created a page, a separate page called Waking Up with Melissa, where I started to get really intentional and I would pull quotes from every episode. I started to pull audio for every episode. And every single week, every single month and quarter and year, our goal is to always perfect that, to keep bringing in more and more high quality type of content for that page for you. So whether it's moving away from quotes and adding the reels, or whether it's doing 2 reels instead of 1, whatever it is, we're always strategizing and we're treating that free offer, because nobody's paying me to record the podcast. Our business is funding this piece of content, but I love it and it's what I want to do. And it does nurture and bring in clients in the long run, but that's not why I'm doing it. However, number two, treat your free offer as if it was a paid offer and watch how your energy changes. Obviously, stay consistent with it. But if nobody knows that you have a new episode that dropped on Friday, why are you expecting 1,000 people to listen? You're not. You have to create the brand awareness. So if you look at my page, you'll see that once, if not twice a week, I post about the podcast. There's BTS, there's behind the scenes footage, or there's a quote, or there's something that is letting people know, hey, there's a new episode. I also go on my stories and there's these beautiful graphics that also lets everybody know, hey, there is another episode. This is what it's called. Here are the cliff notes. Here's the link. Go listen. Number three, I want you to be open to listen to this because this is going to potentially be different than what you've heard before. Most people, when they create a podcast, they think about who they're going to have on their podcast as a guest. And while that is so amazing and Every single guest that we've had on Waking Up with Melissa is either a dear friend or I know them or somebody introduced me to them. I am a fan and a supporter of their work. It's not somebody who I think, who can I get on this podcast because their reach is big and it's going to make the podcast even bigger. I never think like that. I always think about whose work do I really want to support? And so the reason why I want you to have an open mind as you listen to this is because traditionally, we see people making their rounds on all of the podcasts. Have you seen the same person go to this podcast and that podcast? And while all of that is amazing, and I do the same thing, and I have people on my podcast, I knew that I wanted people to listen to my work. I wanted people to tune into my teachings. And so it was really important that right off the bat, I was the one that was going to be doing mainly all of the episodes. And that was a flip on traditional podcasts because we see a lot of people and a lot of the same faces on the top 10 podcasts or the top 20. And while that's great, and I love that, and I do invite some of those people onto my podcast, again, I really wanted to make sure that our students and the people that were listening really got a chance to hear and pick my brain, and that the people that we were bringing on were just accentuating the brand and the voice and the podcast. And so that's why I wanted you to keep an open mind, because I don't want you to go off track and to never have a podcast with a guest on it. If that's your thing, please do it. But I know for me, listen, I went to school for TV broadcasting and film and marketing. Like, I knew that I wanted to throw a wrench in the market. I'd love to do shit like that. I love to create something and disrupt. Like, I love to disrupt patterns. Like, while everybody's going this way, Melissa's going right. And I'm like, hey guys, there's another path over here. Like, that's so my jam. It's so my style. And so I knew right away I wanted to create that wrench in the market when I started my podcast. And I can tell you now for sure that it absolutely caught the attention of a lot of people, because the podcast is full with my teachings. There's so many gems. Like, how can you not come back every single week and tune into this work? And so that was number three. Number four, I keep it motherfucking real and I show a different side of me on this podcast. I'm talking about the five ways I grew my podcast. This is where authenticity outshines strategy any day, anytime. For me, this is an opportunity. I never get tired of recording this podcast because it's an opportunity for me to just like let loose. I'm recording this podcast in my pages. Like, there's no show. Like, it is the realest, rawest version of Melissa the Human. And I curse sometimes and I talk about polarizing shit on this channel and things that agitate my market. And it's all good. I'm not doing it for any other reason than to have a real expansive conversation. And so this is the opportunity for me to really bring forth those longer pieces that I just can't capture in a 1 minute reel, or I just can't capture it in my caption because the words are too limited. Like, this is the opportunity that I have to go off and rant and discuss and invite everyone to a bigger conversation. So keeping it real. Number five, I don't hold back on value. There's no gatekeeping here. Actually, I had a student not that long ago, about a month ago, tell me, Melissa, people don't know that they can just like listen to your podcast and get coached by you. Like, the things that you teach are in your podcast. It's so fucking valuable. Like, you get the mindset shift and the perspective and the channeled message and also the strategy. Like, it's all there. Like, somebody can listen to your podcast and build their business. And I was like, oh, thanks. Yeah. So number five, don't hold back. We have this kind of energy around being afraid that if we give too much, people are not going to pay. Like, literally, I've never, ever met one person that was like, wow, that was so much information. I feel good and complete and I don't want to work with you. In fact, it's the opposite. I find that people are like, whoa, that was a lot. Like, I wonder how the hell it would be to get into your world and what else I would learn, or how my mind is going to continuously blow and shatter into a million pieces with all of these groundbreaking shifting of my own perspective and perception of life. You see, too many people try to forcefully change humans, but this doesn't work. Have you ever tried to change a human? Have you ever tried to change your partner? Have you ever tried to change your parents? Have you ever tried to change a friend? And I'm talking about like change the way they are. You can't. But if you can change the way they're looking at something, if you can change their perspective, you will change their behavior. And yeah, that human will eventually change. So I'm not here to forcefully change anybody. I'm only telling you how I was able to shape shift my mind, how I was able to chisel and cultivate the things that I see now. And I look at the world not as problems, but truly as opportunities for me to show up, to difficulty. Listen, I'm not all about rainbows and sunshines, and I'm not here to tell you that everything's going to be perfectly fine. And, you know, you just got to close your eyes and manifest your best life and it'll happen. No, the practice is called practice because it takes practice and it takes a level of willingness and it takes a level of awareness. And so those are the five things that grew my podcast. Okay, now on to the juicy part, because I want to tell you the reasons why we stopped van life. It is been 7 months that we were on the road, and this has been the first month that we have been settled and grounded, and we landed in the sunny state of Florida, which I am so excited because your girl loves the motherfucking heat. But I want to take you back really quickly, and I want to tell you at least three or four things that I learned from this experience. Once upon a time in October of last year, me and my wife sold everything. We sold all of our belongings. We have a very small storage in my sister's house with a few things, memorabilia and like just things we couldn't get rid of because we didn't want to, pictures and things like this. We got rid of our cars. We let go of the apartment. All of the things that we had, we let it go. And we eventually converted a van. And we lived in this van for 7 months. And yo, it was wild. We stood in alpaca farms, in horse farms, on a blueberry farm, in the middle of freaking Vermont looking at the sky. And oh my gosh, the stars in Vermont. And we went hiking and we just did so many beautiful things. The people we met along the way, the places we slept, including a Planet Fitness parking lot one day where we couldn't find a place to sleep. We slept in the parking lot for actually 2 days in a row. Like, yo, it was an adventure. And we did this with our dog. But eventually, what happened was is that after 7 months, it got very difficult. And so one thing that I want to share with you is notice when there's something that's difficult and it's just because you haven't done it before and you need to sit with that discomfort. And then notice when something is difficult and you feel like you're going the wrong way. And so for us, we felt complete. And so that's just what happened. In my mind, I always said, if I lasted 1 month in the van, that would be fucking amazing. 6 months would be like, whoa, I can't even picture living in a tiny ass van for that long. And 7 months. And so there was this energy of, no, we should keep going. But ultimately, what I really fell into was, this is just complete. And so that's one of the things that I want to bring forth in this podcast is recognizing, are you in a place or in a phase where something is complete? Maybe it's your job that's complete. Maybe it's that relationship that's complete. Like, what feels complete and what feels like you're going against almost your own well-being and your own well-knowing because you have this mindset of, no, I need to do X, Y, and Z. So that's one thing that I learned and one thing that felt for me that once we got to Florida, I was like, oh, we're complete. And of course, these beliefs came up where I was like, no, we need to go this way. We need to go that. We said we were going to go that way. No, there's still so much more. But I really had to surrender to the fact that life was asking me to anchor down. The second reason why we stopped van life was because when we got to Florida, it was unbearably hot. And with no AC and one fan, it wasn't possible. And so what happened was is that we started to strategize and we're like, okay, let's get AC in the van. We'll just take it to somebody. We'll stay in a hotel for 2 or 3 days and we'll get AC, like no problem. And then when we sat down and we worked out the numbers and the time it would take, it just all of a sudden didn't make sense. I was like, whoa, we can actually now buy a new van. And so we started to entertain that. We're like, okay, let's buy a new van. Let's buy a bigger one. Let's buy one with AC. And again, it all boiled down to going back to that first thing of pushing too hard and understanding that, yeah, we can do all of this, but like, it doesn't feel good. And we can't do things that don't feel good. So this is the second thing that I want to bring into this podcast is, what have you been doing that no longer feels good? And how do you honor that? Whether it's the fact that you're in a friendship that no longer feels good, or whether you've been doing something in your life to this point, and it might have felt great before, but all of a sudden, it just doesn't feel good. How can you honor that? I remember I woke up one day being a TV producer after 13 years and feeling that, feeling like, oh my God, this doesn't feel good anymore. And I was like, wait, when did this happen? I loved being a TV producer. And actually, I still do love some parts of it. I actually run a Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, it's called I Need a Casting Producer. And there's about 10,000 people in that group. And every day I get hundreds of requests of people wanting to collaborate, other TV producers and people who are in the casting world that are looking for jobs. And so there's so many parts that I do like, but I really had to have a real conversation with myself. And I started to realize that I had bigger plans for myself. And that's why that no longer felt good. It wasn't a stab at the industry. It wasn't that there's something wrong with it. It's just that I had to honor that I was growing and I had outgrew that. Life, God, Source, Universe was like, human, pick your motherfucking shit up. Like, we got other plans for you. You're supposed to be activating and doing your mission. You're supposed to be in your purpose work, and this just ain't it. And it's good you can honor it because it prepped you for it, but it ultimately just wasn't it. The last reason why we stopped and completed 7 months on the road was a combination of my doggy getting sick and realizing I have a Shiba Inu. He has lots of fur. It was just too hot for him. And ultimately, we all wanted grounding. We all wanted to ground in. Me, my wife, the dog. We just needed stability. And while the adventure and traveling every single day as a nomad and not knowing where the hell we're going to be and where we're going to sleep and where am I going to find Wi-Fi for my business, because I was still running my business during this entire time, I realized that while all of that's fun and I live for the motherfucking thrill, I live in the unknown. I know not a lot of people can live like this. Some people, like, they literally need that structure and they need to know what the hell they're doing every single day. I live for it. I wake up every day and I'm like, ooh, adventure. What's going to happen today? I love it. And even for somebody who loves it, there was this intuitive feeling of knowing that, one, I'm complete. Two, it's too fucking hot. We just can't do it. So logistically, it doesn't make any sense. And three, I want to ground in. I got the lessons that I was supposed to absorb during this time. My soul went on such an expansive journey, letting things go. I never thought that I would have a problem letting things go because I don't really like things. I can live off of eating the same thing and 3 shorts, 1 pair of shoes and 5 shirts. Like, I have no problem doing that. And when I was called to let go of other things, like my curling iron, it was so weird. I remember I almost cried. I was like, no, I need to curl my hair. And I was like, no, you can't. You can't do that in the van. You know, living in a van without a mirror, you know, taught me so much. Like, oh, wait, like, I don't know what the hell I look like right now wearing these clothes. And also understanding, like, it doesn't matter. We're just camping. It doesn't matter. We're just going to go hiking. Wear something that is functional. Wear something that's warm. Wear something that's literally going to fucking save your life. And make sure you bring your flashlight and your whistle. Like the survival of me became the most important thing, and not how I looked and not how many things I had. So letting go of the things even further that I had ever let go of really taught me so many powerful lessons. Yo, I only had like 3 pair of shoes, and that was like literally like sandals, hiking boots, and sneakers to work out. Like that was it. You know, I only had 2 or 3 pair of shorts. I only had a handful of shirts. Like that was it. Everything was so intentional. Everything was meant and designed for comfort and survival. And so I learned all of the lessons with Mother Nature and being in Mother Nature and being stuck in the mud and connecting with the elements again and having our awning almost ripped because a gust of wind came in and it wasn't anchored all the way down, and, you know, fighting with fire because we couldn't get the fire to go on and we needed to eat and we needed to cook. We got all of the lessons. And I know that there's more, but this part was so important. I know that for me, Pachamama wanted me to go into nature and connect with the sacred element beings again in a different way. And I so got it. I got and I received what I was supposed to receive. And now there's a new chapter. And now I'm grounding into a home, to stability, to quietness, to routine, to the monotony of every day, knowing what's going to happen. I hadn't been living like that for the past 7 years. Every minute was a damn adventure. Every day was the unknown. And so I'm happy. I'm excited to lay our roots here in the sunny state of Florida. I'm so excited. Thank you, humans, for being on this journey. It has been just super expansive. And if you've been wanting to connect with me, send me a DM. If you like this episode, screenshot it, tag me at I am Melissa Ruiz. And if you feel called to leave us a review, please do so on Spotify or Apple. This always helps the podcast reach more people. As you know, this is something I fund myself with my company, and we want more people to hear this message. Hundreds of people listen to every episode, but we want thousands of people to listen to every episode. We want more people to continuously have this free resource in their back pocket. I love you, humans. Go with peace, go with God, and stay tuned to the next episode.